So, I mean, you just have to be able to deal with that. Have you had a chance to evaluate the Commanders' offseason?
I mean, I don't think we really can until after the draft anyway.
Okay, but where do you stand right now? Where's your gut tell you?
I mean, I think they've
How
done
do you
pretty
feel?
well. I think they've done pretty
Yeah.
well. The thing that I seem to see the most is, Adam Peters seems to be willing to get rid of draft picks for free agents, which means at this point, he must not think that the free agents or the draft field is as good as it was last year, or at least our position in it isn't as good, and he's not as interested or worried about trading away draft picks if we're getting veteran players in place. So that's kind of the one thing I've taken out of it. But,
Well, he
that could
likes
change.
seeing players that have been tested against pros as
Sure.
opposed to guys playing in the Mid-Atlantic Valley Conference.
Sure. But, I mean, he didn't get one of the big flashy edge rushers. That's what everybody was kind of hoping. Not everybody, but a lot of people were hoping, Myles Garrett or the guy up in Cincinnati. But, like,
Yeah, but look how much money. They're 30-year-old athletes in their
well, I
30s.
understand.
And they're asking the fortune.
That's
Now,
the going rate. The fortune is the going
Miles,
rate.
maybe. I just think that I'm okay. I wanted to keep away from Philly. As long as Miles is not wearing puke green, I'm good.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like he's staying in Cleveland and
Sounds like. Oh no, he's staying. Did you
sure.
hear the money he got? Yeah, he's good.
I mean, sure. And then every now and then, who knows what happens? But yeah, okay. It looks like he'll be there at least for next season.
What's the most intriguing thing of the offseason in football? Is there
For
a
the
mind
Commanders
scratching thing?
specifically,
Maybe you scratch your mind?
for the
Your head?
Commanders.
No,
Well,
just overall.
I think
Like to me, the Aaron thing and the Russell Wilson. We started the show with this.
yeah.
I am just blown away
Wait, I
by
don't
two
know.
guys.
You think Mike Tomlin's trying to get fired? Because I feel like if you bring Aaron Rodgers to your team, you're trying to get fired. Because he got everyone fired in the around him in the Jets. He's like, do this and do this and do this, and everyone around him got fired but him. I just feel like he goes to the Steelers, you're just going to start seeing coaches and GMs and stuff just get fired left and right because that's what Aaron Rodgers brings to your team. But hey, if that's the risk they're willing to take on him. Not something I would want for my career, but I don't know. I don't know what else is out there for quarterbacks right now, and they definitely need one.
Yeah, last 5 years, you look at the Steelers, and the Steelers have just been the same copy of themselves. They refuse to break their own model.
Well, they're basically this like they have this awesome defense like they did behind, Big Ben. They just don't have this phenomenal quarterback to lead the offense anymore. So,
They have it until it breaks down, until one of their pieces is
sure.
broken,
I mean,
and it's broken every
the defense
year.
is what keeps them in every season and in games and in every season. But without that Hall of Fame level quarterback back there, which,
And or running game, which they neglect, they
yeah.
don't have.
Yep. No, you're right. You're
They
right.
can't control clock. See, the defense is dominant, but they need the clock. They don't control the clock, and they don't maybe they're broken,
Well,
but they don't recognize it
the offense
because
has
they
become
don't
their
have that
liability, so.
internal conversation that you have to have amongst friends and family to tell you that that jumpsuit you're wearing has been out of style for 10 years.
Hey, maybe that's what they're hoping Aaron Rodgers will bring to them is clock management and stuff.
A-Rod
But
don't bring nothing other than A-Rod.
I know, man. I just
A-Rod brings A-Rod. A-Rod is a separate entity. There's nothing team related about A-Rod. And I love the fact that he's not lying about who he is. When you buy into, that's like bringing a rattlesnake into your bed and then you complain because you got bit.
Yeah.
If you don't want to get bit, don't bring the rattlesnake in the bed. I just, did, but
Yeah.
they
What?
have,
What's
not just them.
the scorpion? The scorpion says that, right? It's
Well, I
helping the
mean, a
grasshopper
scorpion
across the river
with
or
the lizard,
whatever,
yeah,
across the puddle. And he says, "Why'd you sting me? We'll both die or whatever." He's like, "It's my nature.
that's
It's what I
what I
do."
do. But this guy has wrecked the Jets, but the Jets are wreckable. They're on the verge of being wrecked all the time until they come in and whitewash everything and clean it, cleanse it, and flip it. Yeah, you know, we know that because it happens to us. We have been the blueprint of it right here. Break time we go right here on 106.7 The Fan, DOC, and Heavy Metal. We'll be right back. .217 in the nation's capital, overtime, DOC, Heavy Metal. And we welcome DC in Alexandria back on overtime. DC, what's on your mind?
Doc, man, everything is good. How are you, Doc?
I'm hanging in there, man. You know, just dealing with life.
Yes, indeed. Hey, I know you had a couple drinks last night because your Dodgers went crazy, man. Mookie Betts showed off. Shohei showed off. But I see the Yankees, they had a response today, man. They out here hitting home runs back to back.
Yeah, Dave
Sims. How you feel about that?
My old buddy is the new voice of the Pinstripers. Proud of him. Those are big shoes, especially Philly kid. Lives in New York, and to get that honor, he's been embraced by Pinstripe Nation. So, been keeping my eye on that because of him. Also, Soto with the Mets. And watching opening day out of Chavez Ravine and watching that. So, you know, it's a lot. As I was trying to say with Little and the guys we were talking about earlier, Little League, I mean, opening day is overwhelming because you really want to connect with almost everybody that plays and everybody that gets opening, because it's probably the one shared experience those of us that are sports fanatics have that we share. Not everybody played football. Not everybody swam. But I think probably the most consistent shared value a lot of people, especially my age, had was Little League. That we probably all shared opening day as a common experience more so than anything else in sports. So that's what, maybe that no longer exists, but that's what I believed for many, many years.
Oh, yeah. That's why I'm out here in Alexandria now. My oldest plays travel baseball, and that was my first sport, too, baseball. You know what I mean? But, you know, as you grow older, you see that you have skills that can translate to other things. That's why I definitely enjoy my kids playing all the sports, man, from track to soccer, football, baseball, and basketball. And one helps the other, you know? And it is a great day, opening day, man.
Yeah, it's and it extends more. I tell people all the time that my mom, she worked snack bar like 16 years after I left Little League.
Okay.
She was still there. I mean, it's so community related.
Right.
You know, the sponsorship logos on those outfield walls.
Yeah.
They were local companies.
Right.
It wasn't IBM and Xerox on those companies. You know, it was Bob's Florist, or it was the A&P. It was local, and so it was community-driven, and it was such a league. And now, at my little league, which was Sunset, Templeton, Gary Templeton, the great Cardinal, and Padre shortstop, I grew up with him. So he now has a little league, and that is such a great honor that legacy continues with one of our own. We played, you know, little league together there. His father coached on the Dodgers. His father, Spivey, was an assistant that I got to play for. So many cross links. So that's why, even though it's lost its popularity from what it was in the 60s, it's still, for all of us that had that experience, I don't think anybody that, if they had a live microphone, would turn away from the fact they would share that with you. The level of baseball. Tom Levero, the exceptional columnist for the Times, and the D.C. Grays, and his commitment and that. It's about giving those kids a chance to experience what most of us did, and that is Little League baseball.
Doc, I got one question, then I'll let you go.
Okay. All right.
You having access to a professional athlete, did that give you the drive or the goal to say that I can do the same thing too? And that'll be my last thing. And, man, have a great day and continue to enjoy this baseball.
Thank you. Really never had one that we had access to semi-pro guys. I never really had that kind of access to a legitimate pro. But didn't need to, because all of our heroes were guys that lived in the neighborhood. I mean, that was our heroes, guys that you saw every day that came up in the neighborhood. Isaac Curtis went to Santa Ana High in our neighborhood. We had Shaw brothers. Shaw went to Cal. Guy getting a full ride scholarship from the neighborhood, that guy's a legend. I mean, it's like, it's just crazy. And plus, speed had a huge impact in the 60s. Guys who were fast, guys running 9.7, 9.6 in the 100. Sprints, it was big. See, Metal, you was probably throwing that hammer, throwing that shot put or something. Got your size.
No, it was ice hockey. Ice hockey was my sport.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. See, we didn't have that going out west. Yeah, didn't have that.
I know. When I got out to Phoenix, I used to make my dad come and take me out to the – they didn't have the Coyotes quite yet, and they had the Phoenix Roadrunners, which were the farm team for the Kings at the time. This is Gretzky-era Kings. And I used to go out there and see, nobody – I tried to get my friends out there to go, and they were like, why would you go to a hockey game? Who wants to see hockey? I'm like,
yeah, no,
it's awesome.
Depends on the region.
People just didn't get it out there, man. And it stinks that the Coyotes have left and now become the Utah, they're going to name them.
Hockey club.
Yeah, for now, whatever they end up calling them. But it stinks that they are no longer in Phoenix. But part of me kind of gets it, man. Like, the people in that town, I don't think ever really, really got hockey. It's a desert. It's just not a, I don't know, it's not a hockey town.
Yeah, but man, I remember Al Kokin convinced me the importance in 80 of Save the Caps, and thank God that we did. Can you imagine life without the Caps? You don't even
I grew up watching the Caps since I was a little kid, I remember one of the first games I went to, I got a Scott Stevens jersey shirt. It was a T-shirt, that had the number and name and everything like a jersey.
Yeah.
And I loved that thing, and I became a Caps fan real early, watching those old, Dino Ciccarelli and Mike Ridley and Jeff Cortinall teams. And when we had the Twin Towers, Kevin Hatcher and Ally Afraidy on defense.
Yeah,
and
Ally Afraidy,
that stuff I grew up watching. Yeah, man.
Yeah, man. That was the U.S. Air Arena.
Yeah, well, the old Cap Center, too.
Cap Center. It makes you sound a little long in the tooth, but it's real.
That's what gave me not just a love for the Capitals, but a love for ice hockey. I ended up playing because I wanted to play like those guys I used to see, The Caps were amazing to me. I used to go meet a bunch of the players and have them sign my gloves. That was... It's what we did for good luck. You got your favorite players to sign your gloves, so then you go play in them.
Athletes of all the sports. Easiest to deal with. Yep. That's good stuff. All right. Let's take a break. Come back. Don't forget, the coach will join us. Cannot wait. It is next weekend. Surprises, I don't know if there really are surprises at this point. It may not be the team you like or may want, but surprises? I don't know. Well, I mean, Juju's injury for Southern Cal, that was, no one can predict it. It's going to definitely bring about some change in the, you've seen, whether or not the Trojans can put it together without them, that is yet to be seen. Irish on a run. It's going to be worth the price of admission. I really I didn't. It's probably the least amount of certainty side. I mean, it's going to be even crazier with all the potential movement that could be there. But at the end, I kind of like what I'm watching. I do. I mean, I really do. Still can't get over that Creighton game. That was, to me, it was, and not the game, just the half.
If you can
hang with Auburn for half, you've done well.
I'll tell you, though, it all looks kind of chalk so far. If you look, we finished the Elite Eight round, teams, so we only have eight teams left now. And they're all 1 and 2 seeds except for Texas Tech, which is a 3. And that's because St. John's was upset by Arkansas. And it's looking real chalk. You know, I just don't see the upset Cinderellas the way you do anymore. And that's something that I think may just be gone, at least until they change something again. Because, again, the college sport is still evolving.
Well, you mentioned the Yankees and Dave Sims. My buddy, who's now the new voice, and looks like Goldsmith, Bellinger, and Judge, just go yard 3 consecutive pitches. And that's the first time that's been done. Going all the way back. Yeah, that's crazy. Well, I'll ask the coach if he's ever seen that, and we are welcomed by Kevin Sheehan, Coach Kevin Sheehan. And, Coach, sorry to once again pull you off the links, but there's no March Madness without Coach Sheehan. And especially when the Turtles are both two teams represented in Sweet 16. So, first of all, your take on what's going on at the alma mater, and when will we see a light at the end of the tunnel?
First of all, how about Brenda and the women? They almost pulled off the upset of the tournament, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. I don't know what's happening, Doc. Florida was better in the game. You know that. We talked about it.
Yeah.
And I like Kevin, and I hope he stays. And I know a lot of our fans hope he doesn't. But
no, you've been adamant
I don't think he's
that.
Going to. I'm sorry?
You've been adamant about that. I like your directness in it. You asked him. You were the first that I heard it to say on the Kevin Sheehan show that, are you staying? You were blunt. You were direct. And all that. The poor guy was backed up. He was so uncomfortable. You had him. But he's clearly, clearly out of his league in this one. And then I also heard you go back and run the tape at his former stop. And he said the exact same things. And so here's a guy.
Yeah, but
go ahead.
No, I know, you know, our fan base, and you know I'm a Terp. Mm-hmm. Nobody's happy. But this happens in college sports all the mm-hmm. time. I mean, look at the Notre Dame reaction to Brian Kelly leaving to LSU. Look at the, you know, Norman, Oklahoma reaction to Lincoln Riley leaving for USC. It happens all the time. Now, I think he'll eventually regret kind of the way the last week went. But he also kind of revealed what the problems at Maryland are. And for the next coach, just glass half full, maybe it'll work out for the next coach. If indeed Kevin leaves, maybe it'll work out for the next coach, because I think the athletic department and the university came back to Kevin and gave him increased compensation, increased rev share to pay players, more of an emphasis on basketball. They've got to hire Doc, you know this, the right athletic director, somebody that knows what you and I know, which is, all due respect to Mike Loxley and the football program, that basketball is the preference of most of Maryland alums and fans. And maybe it'll work out for the next guy. It's too bad the way it happened over the last week. Too bad that they got matched up against a very good Florida team in the Sweet 16, but we'll see what happens from here.
What caught your attention over last night's
game? About what?
Well, in terms of, for something to impress you, in terms of a simple inbounds play, did you think that was, and you're pretty critical on coaches, but we hear it all the time about the little things that we work on. and in the short space that you get to coach. And I was thinking about the inbounds play, obviously, that Grant Hill was famous on, and Christian Laettner, blah, blah, blah. But I was really getting into this game at that point and got caught completely off guard. I didn't even think about it. Where was your brain at on the inbound pass?
Are you talking about last night, Purdue and Houston?
Yes, last night. No, last night.
Oh, I mean, you can't – you got to guard the inbounds passer, and you have to guard the inbounds passer because often the inbounds passer is the guy that's going to take the last shot. So I thought Purdue did a poor job, and I thought Kelvin Sampson in Houston did a great job. He is a great coach. He's won everywhere he's gone. Matt Painter's good, too. There's part of me that's really rooting for Kelvin Sampson to win a championship. They're good enough to do it.
I focused in on Auburn last night, and really, I've seen him maybe two or three times. But this freshman, when we say today's freshman, this kid's better, as good as a guard? Whew. Where's he ranking Sheehan's class?
Well, I don't know. Auburn's good, but I think they've got their hands full tomorrow. That's Izzo. That's Michigan State. They got, you know, eight guys, nine guys, 10 guys that can play. They got 2 to 3 7-footers. I think it's a tough matchup for Auburn tomorrow. I love Izzo. You know I do. I think Bruce Pearl's good too, but it wouldn't surprise me if the tougher team, and I think that's Michigan State, wins tomorrow. But Auburn was great last night. Michigan struggled all year long when they haven't, you know, handled the ball well. And Auburn was good last night.
It's fashionable, and especially for a Terp, to not have a whole bunch of things to say nice about Duke. But what do you say about
Duke? They're good. They're great.
Yeah.
They're great. I don't feel the same way I used to feel because we've been in the Big Ten now for 11 years. Mm-hmm. They're great. Cooper Flagg's great. They're deep. I think they win the whole thing. I really do. And I think they beat Alabama tonight handily. I think they cover the number. And I think it's going to be a tough spot for Alabama, who looked great. They shot 51 threes on Thursday night, made 25 of them. But I like Duke tonight. I think Duke wins that game.
I had people that they sent me texts and go, what does Coach think about the Stephen A. Smith and LeBron James deal?
Oh, stop.
Was this manufactured?
What do you think about it?
Please ask the coach. And I said, I think it's all about both have production companies. I don't think LeBron.
You, the two of us, what do we like talking about? Games. Teams.
That's right.
Players. Not the drama surrounding it. That's for younger people. I don't care one way or the other. I think they're both kind of silly and petty and immature.
I'll stop you right there because I know you like a brother, and I know pretty much what you would say. Appreciate your time, taking time out to join us now up against a heartbreak. Thank you so much. Go back on the links and hit one straight and hard for me.
You know, I love you. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
Thank
you. It's an honor.
You the man. See ya. Thank you. Kevin Sheehan, folks. Kevin Sheehan Show and the Kevin Sheehan Podcast. We are taking a break. Stay with us. .245 in the nation's capital. Shout out to Brother Sheehan. Appreciate the coach. Always count on the brother. He's loves his hoops, loves his university, and did. You don't have a time problem. I was about to ask you a crazy question. Do you have a time with the late starts? You're a vampire. You're up half the night. Anytime you have a, do you have a problem with the late time viewing? I just, there's no other way to do it. But you know, it's the broadcast teams are good. I just, something about TNT, seeing Barkley and hearing the boys and Clark Kellogg and then Candace and Coach. It's been a good vibe. It's been It's been good. It really has been good. There's certain sounds that you never think you would never get rid of. Like, I never thought I would be able to experience basketball without Dickie V. Glad he's back. Glad, you know, I got a chance to hear some of him at points in time. But it, you know, it's interesting. All interesting in this. The tradition of the sports as we change seasons and get into this. What is the best part of hoops to you, collegiate hoops?
Well, I mean, certainly it's tournament. I love seeing, like I say, buzzer beaters and dunks, right?
Yeah, quick hops. Michigan State. And then, you know, seeing Izzo. I think it's still about the coaches. The guys that, you know, as much as whether you like them or not, Patino and that whole swagger.
I mean, Calipari in Arkansas this year upsetting Patino was a big, you know, I think a lot of people thought, how would Calipari do now that everyone has basically become a one and done? And, I mean, he beat the number two St. John's. That was a big one, you know?
Yeah, and then Arkansas being, you know, they get caught up and run out as well. And I don't know, this is, I think relating, I think with Izzo, the coolest part about it is how you still relate to these, quote, youngins, how they continue to buy in. And to me, the one thing that never gets goes out of style is when kids commit to winning, which I respect the Celtics deal. I mean, you can't have a rival and not respect him. Well, I guess you could. You could have Dallas, but. And I basically just said that for an after effect, but because I respect the Cowboys. I respect the Cowboys that we dealt with Tom and that group. This group with Jerry is just impossible for me to get my hands around, because it seems to be all so make-believe, all so show and tell. Remember last year during the Senior Bowl? We're going all in. The Cowboys are all in. Translate that for me, because I'm still confused. I don't know what that means.
Well, I think he's referring to Texas Hold'em, but, you know.
Okay. I asked you because I didn't
know. Going all
in
is when, in Texas Hold'em, is when you take your big risk. You put all your chips in, and if you lose the hand, you are out. And if you win the hand, you know, ideally you're winning the table or something, you know, or at least doing really well. And but it's the idea of taking the big gamble to go all in. Ideally, you'd be doing that, say, for a Super Bowl run. We're going to put all our chips in and try to make a Super Bowl run. And if it, you know, you either crash and burn or you end up doing real well. But, you know, you can go all in when you got a really good hand sometimes. And someone's got that other card, they'll just, you know, get that
does
full
it ever
house or
strike
something.
You, so. Does it ever make you concerned or strike you a certain way that a property that fails at its job still is the most profitable?
I mean, they know how to merchandise. I don't know.
I don't know what to say. So wait a minute, because I think we're onto something. So you're telling me that people with a high IQ buy gear of a product that's unsuccessful?
I'm not referring to their IQs, let's say.
Well, no, you have to be. You have to be. Why would smart people invest in an image that's not successful? That doesn't make sense.
No, it never made sense to me.
So you mean to tell me that people notice something doesn't work, that it is not successful, but yet that enough of them invest in it that it is the most successful brand in a particular market? I find that fascinating. I find it fascinating that a team could gain a nickname and consider it to be associated with a superpower and yet it not be associated with anything of major significance in close to 30 years. Don't you find that interesting?
That seems very on the brand for the Cowboys, to be honest.
Well, no. I'm not saying it's bad, good. I'm not mocking it. I'm seriously curious. I find that fascinating.
Well, there's that, you know, that, remember the old school fandom from the 90s where everybody was, Lakers fans and Yankees fans and Cowboys fans. And the Lakers and Yankees seem to be doing at least pretty good still, but the Cowboys, they have not. They have not been doing well in the time since the starter jackets were everywhere.
Well, we say that, and again, we get in this time warp about when is the last time the Bronx Bombers won it. There's so many years that have gone by. How many years do you have to be out of the winner's circle before you're no longer considered a winner?
I mean, I hear you, but at least the Yankees have been in the playoffs and stuff, you know, and doing well.
I ain't mad at the Stripers at all. What the Cowboys have pulled off to me is an absolute miracle. But the joke's not, it's not on them. It's on the people that follow them, like the Night of the Living Dead.
Hey, keep George Romero out of this. That? I love those movies.
But really, that to me is Cowboy fan. That is Cowboy fan. You can't justify it. What are you basing it upon? And then the value of a project. How can it be valued at that high? What society would allow that to happen and still give it that value and it not be able to produce in the biggest moments? I find it interesting. I'm not mad at them. This is not I'm not mocking them. I'm taking self-evaluation in that, well, who are the people following them? And shouldn't they be reevaluated?
Well, I mean, look at what just happened to the Mavericks out there, too. You know, they just got rid of Luka, and their entire fan base is yelling to fire the GM, and they're throwing fans out of the games because they're like constantly yelling fire the GM. Who else are you going to be a fan of out there?
You were supposed to invest a fortune in a guy that was never in shape, gifted, but you the person's got to make this decision. And they decided not to, a new ownership group decides not to invest a fortune into a person that they just can't trust or don't seem to trust.
Yeah, I feel like part of that too, though, is on the management side. If you've got a player of that level and you're talking about paying him that much money, then it's on you to make sure that he's doing the things that you want. You have to turn him into that person. You have to be like, look, if you want us to pay you this kind of money, we're not going to do it unless you start doing these things and blah, blah, blah. And making it quite clear that, you know, he's going to lose a lot of money. Because he lost like $100 million on that trade.
Yeah.
That's part of the job, too. It's like, you can't just be the guy that's like, well, if you don't do what I say, I'm firing you. This isn't a job at McDonald's, man. Like, you got to get these guys to live up to their potential. That's part of the job, too. You know? Like, and it's hard. It's hard to deal with people like that and get them to do that. That's what you're getting paid for, though. You know, like, that's what you running the team are getting paid to do. So I think there's of that too.
Dude, you speak in language now. I'm with you. I'm with you. And I'm saying that these companies don't know how to do that. This guy may be vilified. A lot of people think he's a nut. I'm going, he may have just saved his, and he's with a team that I grew up with.
They didn't save nothing. They're losing their fan base over this. I mean, that's the kind of thing that makes people that are like, why do I sell season tickets if these are the kind of things they're going to do? You know, that's not what the team wants to have happen.
I know. I'm just not convinced that it is a disaster move yet. Because people don't change who they are. And you can get a bump and you can go to a new environment. But if the money, he was getting major money there. I hope you're right.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, God, I hope. But I'm like going,
He's doing all right with the Lakers right now. So it's not like
all right.
It's not like he couldn't play somewhere and do better. You put him in a different environment and he seems to be doing better. Then there's a problem with the environment that they've created.
You scared the hell out of me. You said all right. Purple and gold, all right is unacceptable.
Well, they were in second place last
night. They got people blowing by him like he's a frog horn. See, that's what I'm saying. That's all right. That's not Lakers standard. For champion, all right. All right. No, Slim, that doesn't cut it. That defensive effort he gives is unacceptable. It's unacceptable. So I'm just saying, I don't think this chapter's over. That's all I'm saying. And that little 9-0 run they had getting out there is cool, but I want to find out who the dude really is. I want to find out who he really is. I'm hopeful as a guy has an interest, stockholder in purple and gold, but I'm going, work ethic, who you are, with that kind of money, dude lost a lot of money. You know, and it's just not nothing to play with. We'll come back and deal with it more. Interested as to what you think about it.
They are 20-7 since he's joined the team, though. I mean, that's pretty good. They were not doing that well before then, so.
Yeah. So you just said a couple words that just don't mix with a champion. Champions don't say pretty good.
I guess I just
that's
I don't
not
know.
In our vocabulary.
We will see.
What
I feel
pretty good.
I feel you
pretty
don't.
Pretty good is what the runner-up says.
Well, I'll tell you this.
He was all right. Next, you're gonna tell me what aight? You aight? That don't work. Champions don't think that way. You sound like the runner-up.
I hear you, but I will just say the NBA.
You sound like, you know what you sound like?
No,
you sound like a Stiller. The standard is the standard. All that stuff is said by the guy in second place. This dude lost a fortune because he's lazy. The question is he really a champion? And is he willing to do what it takes to get the job done? That's what we're going to find out. It's going to be a sweet ride. Stay with us. We'll be back. Zigzags, my man on X. I love you, man. You know I do. It's not about L.A. It's just about winning and winners. And I get you. I understand we're in D.C. But my God, somebody's scoring 100 points on you in a quarter. I can only talk about that so much. So every once in a while, I do have to go to Hot Topics and winning and champions. So, but you know, nothing but love for you. And a little, you got to stop it, man. You make me laugh way, 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 way too much. It's a lot going on. Love y'all. Keep it active on X. And it's a beautiful thing. Love the communication. It works. We'll see. We'll find out if Dallas was right or wrong. My boy Humpty Dumpty, Joker, man. Whew, what a player. You should be thrilled because the dude is just flat out producer by all stretches of imagination. I love his game, man. I really do. To the lines we go. Jack. Out in Springfield. Welcome to the MGM National Listener Line. What's on?
Hey, Doc. Thanks so much. I appreciate it, man. Look, I was sitting in my parking lot that I found at the VFW years ago when I moved here in 2003. Give me a minute. I'm going to reminisce a bit. You'll see where I'm going here. And I started listening to a radio show that had some fella named Coach and Doc on it, and that was 2002-2003. Memory's not as good as it used to be, but some of the greatest words of wisdom I learned from that show, listening to you and Coach. So I thank you so much for that. But I'm gonna tear into your heart a little bit because the Celtics are getting ready to repeat, and let me back something up, threepeat after this because they ain't going nowhere. Your Lakers, if they get lucky enough, Doc, I know you love them to death, but you got Luka the Bazooka who can blow up if he plays defense. His heart will literally blow the heck up. So if you make it that far, Doc, and then I'll pause, I can't wait because it's just one more victory. We're going to go up on the loved Lakers. What do you think of that, my friend?
I've been watching the series. I'm not bragging on the Lakers. Lakers not even the best team, in nowhere near to the West. But I do like the series that I've been watching on the Celtics. And I'm not a hater. So, I mean, my son is Lakers, is a Celtic fanatic. I like the rivalry, and I love their commitment to winning. That's the one thing I love about the Celtics. Mm-hmm. The direction is clear. Mm-hmm. It's not foggy. It's clear.
Victory.
Yeah, victory. I get it. So, that's no, you never get me in a trick bag over that.
It's nothing else. They're going for nothing else. Now, they're resting a few, and there's some injuries, but the bottom line is, when it comes time to man up, and people are like, oh, Cleveland, come on, man. That's like saying Dallas is going to beat the Redskins again in the next 5 years. That ain't happening with what the Commanders got going on. We both know that. And the Yankees, by the way, are going to get their keister kicked now that my Red Sox started paying some money for these players. So it's best time of year right now. I could only imagine if we still had a little football going on. You got baseball. I'm not a soccer fan. Hockey's still there. Basketball finals. This is a delicious time, my friend. I'll shut up and let you go. Doc, I love you. Still listening to you every weekend. I will to the day I die, brother.
Thank you, brother. Well, don't die. Don't die. Amen. Appreciate that. And don't forget Ovi's chasing the record and the Capitals doing their thing in the locker. Returns tomorrow. So you got a lot more to put on your sports menu, the return of the locker against the Buffalo Sabres. And we want everybody following that monumental momentum to check that out. That's going to be crazy. It's going to be crazy. Might even get heavy metal. He'll be working. I almost said something really crazy.
Not always working.
No, I almost said you on the ice. That could get you on the ice. Just Chase and will you be there and the extension and suppose they take it the next year and if you're the marketing team and you put them under sodium pentothal, do they really want this record to be equaled and broken now or next year? What's your gut tell you?
I will tell you, I'm not sure what they want, but we have a bet with the B. Mitch and Finley show, and I on what day he would break it, and I picked April 15th, and right now they say that is the estimated date that he will break the record. So, you know, I'm just rolling with that too right now. So,
hey, that's good. It's good energy.
Yeah.
The daily bets.
We bet on all this stuff a month and a half ago. We bet it. We all picked dates for this, a month and a half ago.
That's smart. You know, I like that. Landfill does a great job of directing. Yeah. No, that's smart. I like that. Because, it keeps that brain movement going. And it's an individual record, but it's approached by the entire team. They're not sacrificing their game. Everybody's business as usual.
Well, it's really cool, too, because it is also a team record, because he's really only played for the Capitals, not counting his Russian years. But it is a Capitals record as well. It is Ovechkin's, record, but he's done it entirely on the Capitals. And I don't know of a lot of players in this city's history that have done things like that. I mean, Darryl Green played his whole career here, I think.
Yeah.
And there's a few others, but to have a record like this also that is like a Wayne Gretzky level record, and this isn't just some sort of
20 years.
Yeah, I know. And you think, man, if they hadn't had the lockout year and the COVID shortened year, he'd be close to 1,000 by now.
That's the thing. He'd probably be the number of games he missed this season.
I know. Well, he was out for, 3.5 weeks, something like that. But
that's frightening where it could have been. You're right. And I didn't even put COVID in it. I didn't even think of COVID.
And the lockout was also early in his career, too. He lost an entire season to the lockout. If you put all that stuff together, that's at least another 50 goals you figure that he would have had.
Then what's crazy is that we can't even envision someone breaking his record, and yet it will happen.
Yeah, I mean, who knows, though? It's just wild. I mean, records change a lot. Happens. You know, most leagues, the offense, the rules tend to favor the offense. They always want more scoring and things like that. But and hockey has been kind of different. You know, the era that Gretzky was scoring in, they scored more goals per game on average in the NHL than they do now. And in the last 20 years, you know, Ovechkin's era. So, you know, it's been a harder era to score goals in, and yet he's still approaching this record. Now, Gretzky kind of did it in a different way. You know, he scored a ton of goals, like, early in his career. And just, you know, I mean, he was having these, like, 90-goal seasons and stuff, which was just insane. But Ovi's kind of been the I won't say slow, because he's been putting up 40, 50 goals a season for, like, his entire career. You know, he didn't really have a big lull towards the end of his career here like Gretzky did. He's just still putting up numbers, and it's kind of insane.
And he's still so physical.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like he's saving his body and trying to preserve himself. He's initiating contact.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
and then
a lot of those
also
top goal
his
scorers,
assists.
A lot of those top goal scorers in NHL history, they're kind of like a deer. You know, they're very swift and they're quick and they dodge a lot and they try not to get hit. And a lot of their careers ended just because they just took so many hits. Eventually their backs are going out and stuff, and they don't have it in them anymore. But Ovi is kind of just this tank that just keeps trudging along, you know, just keeps firing.
Yeah, and also, but he's not a goon because his assists, he knows, exactly. You know, how to place the puck. He's a complete package. Complete package. And they have Locker back with Beninati and Allen and Al Kokin. I mean, just a group. Just the monumental, man. It's like a symphony, man. They all get together, and it's an orchestra, and they get it done. They get it done at a real, real high level.
Well, that and the Caps. The Caps have a chance to really do something special in the playoffs too. And I think that's another good thing about having Locker back too. It's like, yeah, it's cool for the Gretzky thing, but it's also great to have him back in time for this playoffs, because this is a special team this year, man.
Yeah. All right, good deal on that one. Take a break here on Overtime. 1-800-636-1067. Final moments here. DOC and Metal. .319, make that .320 on the bullseye. Be a beautiful time for us to get out to the MGM National Listener Lines and talk to J-Rod in Arlington. J-Rod, what's up?
Doc, hey, listen, I've listened.
Oh, this is J-Rod.
I've listened to most of your show. Okay, and I can stand by and listen to you articulate some criticisms about the brand. I get it. A little bit of jealousy.
Not a criticism, Jared.
A little bit of jealousy never hurt you. Any,
not a criticism. Okay. Where was I off factually?
Well, I understand, but when I had that last call, I don't know where you're a Red Sox fan or nothing. I think that poor bastard's had too many head injuries.
Oh,
if
yeah.
he thinks
well,
that we're going to go 5 years before we beat you again.
Yeah,
you got to try to talk some sense into some of these callers. I mean, he sounded like he was calling from some institute. Gave him a timeout and gave him a quarter to go make a phone call. It will not be 5 years. In fact, we'll probably sweep your asses next year. I just want to make that loud and clear. He's just buttering you up, I guess. He's some kind of Red Sox fan. I can't sit here and in all good faith let somebody call in and make a statement like that when I'm listening. Just not going to happen,
Doc. I understand. Well, we go back a long way.
Well, that's fine. You can go back all the way to when you were wearing a leather helmet or not. I don't give a damn. Stupidity is stupidity, and you got to call it out when you hear it. I love you to death, Doc, but when somebody makes a statement like that, you got to make sure they're not driving a car or don't have a visiting angel sitting next to them, because they might do something hazardous to themselves. You know what I'm talking about.
Well, Jerry, you tell me, are you all in again this year?
Hey, listen, we're all in against the NFL. Okay. Well, okay. They've all of this has been designed to make the league more competitive. And that is by making sure that we can't go beyond our means. I have a salary cap that I got to abide by. If it were up to me, hell, I'd have every damn all-star at every – you know this. Mm-hmm. But now all in is all in the eye of the beholder. I'm all in every year. I want it every year. I want me some glory hole. You know this.
I know that.
But, sometimes the – when you got 5, 6, 7, 8 players, you draft so well, they all become perennial all-stars. I mean, wait till the Commanders have to pay their quarterback, and then all of a sudden another player and another player. So y'all haven't gotten to that achievement yet. What you've been doing is just poaching our players, poaching our coaches. Hell, you might as well call yourselves the Commando Cowboy B team with all the former Cowboys you had out there.
Well, Jerry, you had the right to pay him. You opted out.
Hey, listen, Doc. I love you to death. Cowboys are going to be in. We're going to be all in.
Okay.
And hopefully you're going to see it. Hopefully.
I look forward to it. I look forward to it. You beat us fair and square in our own backyard. I can't take that away from you. And I just hope that you're half as good as you guys say you'll be, and then we'll have some fun.
Okay. But you know damn well it ain't going to be 5 years till we beat you again. Come on, Doc.
No. Hell. No. I said, no, it won't be. You beat us last year here at home.
That's it.
Yeah.
And short of a miracle by your backup quarterback, we would have beat you twice. But I'm
just
saying. Yeah,
woulda, shoulda, coulda. I know.
I hear you, Doc.
You know.
I hear you. Hey, listen, it's always good hearing you, and you have a fantastic weekend, and we'll talk again.
I look forward to it, Jarrah. None but respect for you. You and the star.
My man.
All right, good deal.
Thank you.
Not often that you get a man with his wealth and prestige to call you on a call-in talk radio line, but that's the kind of guy Jarrah is. You know, he's a man of the people, and he's been doing that for over 25 years. So it's a good thing. It's a good thing. The ballpark getting kind of reared up for that one. Looking forward to it. And see, Jake Irvin will be on the bump for the Nats. And I'm just glad that we talk about the Nationals emotionally, that we got people that are really vested into it and they care. What you don't want is a fan base that doesn't put any emotion into the fan base, into the team, and is lethargic, doesn't have any emotion. No, I don't want that group. Are you into the bobbleheads, and are you into the presidents that they have running alongside?
I think the presidents are fun. I do not care about bobbleheads. I care zero about the bobbleheads.
Okay.
They're just junky tchotchkes to me that don't really have much meaning. I'm glad people love them. I know people have been collecting them. We got a ton of them sitting around here in the studios. Mm-hmm. But they're not my jam. I've got enough other dumb things that I collect, and I don't need to add bobbleheads to that. So,
yeah, I was just wondering. The president race thing, that always gets me. It never gets to where I go. Are you kidding me again?
I always
want to see it.
Yeah, and I love on when they do like special days, like Star Wars Day, how they dress up like Star Wars characters and things like that. I think that's amazing.
Yeah, but it's also not everybody, I guess, in the country is privy to theme parks or has them. I guess if you grew up with it, like we had Disneyland, Magic Mountain, all that.
Knott's Berry Farm out there. I remember going to that as a kid.
Yeah, you don't take that for granted, man. Not everybody has that. I don't even know what it would have been to grow up in a region that doesn't have it. But there are people that don't have it and didn't go and never had it. Magic Mountain, All that stuff.
Did you ever go to Cedar Point, Doc?
No. That sounds like I'm on a mountain or somewhere. Like I'm hiking.
Cedar
that sounds
Point's
like
in
it's
Ohio.
Hard.
It's in Ohio. It's It's on one of the Great Lakes up there. It's a point. It sticks out in the water, and they got the craziest roller coasters in the world there, man. It's insane. All the ones that are like, this is the tallest one in the world, and this is the fastest one in the world, and they're all up there.
Wait a minute, over water?
No, I mean, it's just like on this little like peninsula that sticks out.
Oh, okay,
that's why it's
okay.
Called Cedar
but it's,
Point.
Okay, but it is an amusement park.
Yeah, it's not called Cedar Point because it's a mountain. It's called Cedar Point because it sticks out in the water. Yeah.
No, that'd be cool.
It's
I mean,
wild,
you can go
man.
To the Matterhorn. I mean, King's Dominion, you know, and all that's cool.
No. All that stuff, it pales in comparison to Cedar Point, man. You want to go on some... I mean, I went on like 400-foot drops and stuff on that thing. It's insane, man. They got crazy stuff out there.
Wow.
Yeah. When my brother was going to Ohio State, I visited him a couple of times, and we went up there, and it's just nuts, man. They don't have all the goofy stuff. Like, if you want to see people dressed up as characters and things like that, they don't have all that. But if you want to go on, like, the fastest roller coaster in the world, they got that.
Yeah, no, that reckless thing, I'm not, I'll pass.
They had one we went on, and it started raining just slightly, just like light rain, and they stopped it while we were in line. And we were like, why are you stopping the thing? Can't it run in the rain? And they're like, oh, no, it'll work in the rain, but when you hit rain going 127 miles an hour in the face, it hurts. So we stop it for people. And I was like, whoa.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. It's amazing what they can do, but you don't want to be in one to get some problem. I always thought, like the Ferris wheel, these things, what happens if you get caught at the top and the thing gets stuck?
Oh, there's videos of that stuff. The nightmares I would have doing that.
Man,
I've seen the videos on YouTube and stuff, man. Ugh.
Yeah, that they just lose me completely. And I think that's why these firemen, like the 911s, the firehouse, anything to do with that is incredibly entertaining. And I'm glad our firefighters get to be just spotlighted as heroes and showing how difficult that is and how people put their life on the line to save people. And it's one of the good things that we do.
Oh, yeah.
And that we highlight.
Always got to shout out the firefighters.
Yeah.
Saw some of them put the flag up the other day in front of Nat Stadium. They put the big flag up right in front of us when we were working on Thursday ahead of the home opener. It's awesome.
That is. It is. I like it when we get it right, you know? And we do get it right a lot. We do get it right a lot. And that's a good thing. Well, hopefully we get it right tonight. 9 innings would be good to get it right. I want to get off to a good start this year. I don't want to be trailing. I want to get off to a good start. And I'm comfortable about the Curly W's. So with great honor, it is to me to pass that baton over to our crew. And we take no days lightly with Brother Carpenter in his final season with the Nats. Let's get after it. Go Nats.